Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
More live games than ever before. That's what they're promising, as RTE signed a five-year deal securing the rights to show extended GAA coverage. The agreement signals an increase in free sports coverage for listeners and for viewers. Now, audiences can also look forward to a second TV highlights programme, says RTE, in addition to the Sunday game. How will they do it all? I hear you ask. Well, RTE head of sport, Declan McBennett, is the man who knows, or should know. Declan McBennett, you're very welcome to the programme.
Evening, Cormac.
This is a huge package by any stretch. So how will it be done? And what will it mean for the average viewer and listener?
I think it means more GAA coverage live than has ever been the case before. I think it's a good day for the audience in that respect, Cormac. And I think when you look at the deal in the round, it's a good deal for RTE Sport, but it's also a good deal because if you look at the other partners that are involved with the GAA, you're looking at TG Cahar, BBC Northern Ireland, somewhere close to your own heart, Radio na Gaeltachta. Mm-hmm. So it's the public service broadcasters essentially carrying the rights portfolio forward for the GAA for the next 5 years. In conjunction with GAA Go. But if you look at it in the context of in 2018, RTE would have been involved in two competitions, the Championship and the Camogie, and that would have involved 38 games, and the calendar was defined. By 2023, we will have moved to 66 games, so you'll have 31 in the Championship, plus the Joe McDonagh and the Tarleton takes you to 35. We've got 8 in the league, we've got a minimum of 12 in the club, and we have 11 in the Camogie, and it gives you a calendar footprint across the year. So
you have the resources to do all that.
Are you making the case for greater resources for me, Cormac?
Well, that's your job.
I'm all in favour of that. Look, the onus is on us there to make this work. It's a good deal. It's something that's very, very close. You're looking at the GAA and RTE, two things that are central to Irish life, coming together, as I say, together with the other partners, and getting as much free-to-air access to games as possible. You know, remember, put this in the context of the pandemic, which, you know, people lived through and came through, when people couldn't go to games, when broadcasters, particularly the public service broadcasters and GAA Go, stepped up and made it possible for people to see those inter-county games when they either couldn't go because they simply weren't allowed or were afraid to go because they were immunocompromised or otherwise. So, you know, the public service broadcasters really stepped up to the mark at that stage.
And free, you're saying? All of this will be free to air?
Well, it's free across RTE, TG Cahar, BBC Northern Ireland.
And the Women's World Cup that's coming down the tracks to us as well.
The Women's World Cup we announced yesterday, that's in conjunction with Eurovision, so 28 broadcasters across Europe. I think there are 4 radio stations involved. Obviously, you know, the beauty of the Women's World Cup is that we're involved in the Women's World Cup this time around.
I'll come back to that, but the point I'm making, and the World Cup next month as well in Qatar. The hot World Cup.
Yes.
So where are you going to get the resources? Are you looking, this is a management point, a perspective for a question now, are you looking for more resources, or are we expected, or is RTE staff expected to do far more than what is actually possible?
I think I'm fortunate, Cormac, in having a very, very good team. Yeah, if you buy rights, you have to produce them, and RTE expect to produce them to a particular standard, and the audience expect RTE to do that. We haven't been found wanting in that. We won't be found wanting in that. We're very proud of the output that we put together. We've done an awful lot in recent times around sports coverage. You have to understand that sport is part of the DNA in Ireland, and bringing those national moments to people is very, very important to us. So the onus is on us to do that, and we've done it.
Big time. And rightly now, women's GAA, the football and the Camogie as well, that's going to get extended coverage, will it?
Yeah, the Camogie will get extended coverage. Again, if you go back a number of years ago, we used to do the All-Ireland final days in the semi-finals. That was then extended to do the quarter-finals. We've since gone on to do the club final, and we've also done the league final. So women's sport has exploded, and rightly so, in the last number of years. I've previously described the 2019 World Cup soccer as the crossing of the Rubicon moment, because there was effectively no going back from that. We've seen it with the explosion of the Euros this year. We've seen it with the success of the Irish women's international team, that the demand is there, the growth is there, the development is there. Yes, women's sport is playing catch up, but it's playing catch up very, very quickly. And the exposure that RTE has been in the fortunate position to allow that women's national team to get from Europe, from Ukraine to Montenegro to Greece to Georgia, right across the board, Finland, Sweden, covering all those games. You know, they put the ball in the net. We reflect that. RTE is the mirror which reflects Irish society, and part of that is the growth of women's sport.
Yeah, the Sunday game, if I can, I'm flip-flopping over sports here, but we'll miss Des. I will miss Des from the Sunday game without question. I think everybody will who watched it every Sunday. But it's not just a replacement of Des. I believe now RTE is offering an enhanced GA coverage on Sunday, an extended Sunday game or a second helping, is that right?
It will be a second highlights offering because I think even those who would defend the Sunday game to the last will realise and understand and appreciate that one of the issues that was at play with the Sunday game was it was trying to be all things to all people. So on some weekends it was trying to cover anywhere between 12 and 20 games across three different codes, football, hurling and camogie, and trying to do justice to them all. And you squeeze yourself to the point whereby sometimes that doesn't become feasible. It's fine if you've got an hour and a half or 2 hours to discuss and dissect the All-Ireland semi-finals and the All-Ireland final. But when you're trying to do that across three codes with 15 games and qualifier games or Super 8 games as they were, or now groups of 4x4, it's very, very
difficult. So how do you rectify the problem then?
I think we have to. That's one of the things that we now need to sit down and we address. We've got this additional option around a second highlights offering. We sit down, we examine that, we find out the best way to do it, and that will, in being able to break out into a second offering, it will invariably improve the first offering, because instead of trying
But you lads are putting too much pressure on what are amateur players and amateur referees, for example, as well, picking out their mistakes and pointing it out for all the world to see and maybe enhancing them too much?
No, I don't think so, Cormac. I think our pundits and our panellists, in fairness, have been very fair. They'll call out players when they play well. They'll call out referees when they play.
You love the social media moments, though, don't you?
Well, that's an entirely different sphere you're going down into.
Well, it's the truth of it, though. Yeah, it happens in the Sunday game, or used to.
Absolutely. But, like, I mean, there is a responsibility around us. I don't think the Wild West of social media equates to the Sunday game. So the second highlights opportunity will afford us the capacity to examine the games, but to do it in a more measured, meaningful way. In a more meaningful way, rather than trying to effectively pour a 5-gallon drum into a 2-litre jug and try to make that work.
Talk to me about the World Cup in Qatar for a second. There are obvious questions around human rights in Qatar, and various broadcasters are dealing with it in different ways. How is RTE going to do it?
In the same way that you would expect Drive Time to do it, Cormac, or you would expect the Clare Byrne or Morning Ireland to do it. We will examine the issues, be they around human rights abuses, human rights accusations, LGBTQ issues, you know, migrant workers, etc. We will have people on the ground and we will ask the same questions and all the coverage. Again, this is not RTE Sport operating in isolation. The onus is on RTE as a station, as a national broadcaster, to ask these questions across the board. That will start with Morning Ireland in the morning. It will go through all our coverage. It will continue on Drive Time throughout the course of the evening, and it will be reflected in the 9 o'clock news.
Part of the sports programmes as well.
Yes, absolutely, because they don't act, as you know, they don't act in isolation, nor should they.
Okay. I have a few funny texts now that I'll bring you in just a second, but one question in particular. But I want to ask you about, I can't wait for the Women's World Cup, because I can't wait for my son to witness the World Cup in which an Irish team, as you mentioned at the very start, are playing. It's going to be absolutely sensational.
I think that's the key to it, that sense of ownership.
It's going to be brilliant. But will you be broadcasting and in situ from Australia, New Zealand, or will you be doing it from here?
Are you advocating for a trip?
if it's going. I doubt it with the resources you're all talking about there.
We will be on the ground, the full extent. Like, remember, we've only just qualified. It's only a couple of days since we found out when we're playing. The fortunate thing about when we're playing is, while some of the games, because of the nature of the geographical context of the World Cup, will take place in the middle of the night or in the very early morning, we now know that Ireland's three games games are at a reasonable time. They're at a time when people can enjoy them. I'm not sure how many people will be working from home on those 3 days, but I suspect there might be a bit of it going on. But the beauty of it is that we have a sense of ownership of this World Cup, and we know that those magical moments transform them. Mm. You know, we've beaten Australia. Well, when I say we have that collective sense. The Republic of Ireland's women's national team have beaten Australia 3-2. We're going to see players like Sam Kerr. We're going to come up against them. You know, we're going to take on the best that Nigeria have to offer. Canada, obviously, with a tremendous record in the Olympics. So, but the point is, we're there.
Yeah.
And the Irish in Australia and New Zealand, if it transpires that way, will absolutely back this team. You know, the Irish on tour are quite the sight to behold.
And you mean that positively. Do you remember a couple of days ago, the hashtag bring Boris back, Boris or bust? Now, I'm not drawing an equivalence here, but a texter, and this is my final question to you, a texter says, will Des Cahill be on the additional highlight show? Bring Des back.
I think Des, as he has indicated, is mad to get out the gap, to get back to games. So having cast off the shackles of the studio, I don't think Des is in any rush back to the studio. Des's persona lends itself to the radio. Des wants to be at games, and he is mad keen to get to games, and we'll certainly
see who's the replacement?
That will all be confirmed over the course of time, Cormac.
Look, Declan McBennett, RTÉ Head of Sport, we will be watching, and we'll be keeping an eye on how you spend your resources. Thank you very much indeed.